Well, here in the Hitchcock house, we have a couple of mothers, my wife, Christina, and also Duff, our rabbit, who just had another 6 baby bunnies. I don't know how many we're up to total. She gets a lot of cards every Mother's Day. Duff is doing well as a mother, as usual, although this time the dad is not. The Papa Bunny, who we have running around the yard, his name is Abraham. Abraham is all kooky right now. And it works like this, that Finn, our dog, she's 23 pounds of muscle, Boston Terrier, just, you know, a sturdy little dog. Abraham, the soft little bunny, has been chasing our dog around the yard. I don't know if he's gotten territorial or upset about something, but he is literally chasing our dog around the yard, biting her. So thank goodness for mothers, because sometimes fathers can't hold it all together. No, really, what I was thinking this last week, watching this rabbit chase our dog, is that, you know, I've been praying that God would raise up Christians to do great things during the pandemic, that, you know, the churches would rise up and be bold during the pandemic. But then I see this, and sometimes I just pray that we don't look too silly. We as the church, you know, empowered and strong, that we just don't look too silly and get chased off by a rabbit, so to speak. You know, we're in a special season right now, and I don't mean the coronavirus season. Rather, we're in a 5-week series in this season of Easter. Remember that we're in the season of Easter, historically speaking. On Easter itself, we were reminded that Jesus holds the keys to the grave. But we're camping there. We're staying there. We're staying in his victory during the 40 days of Easter, observing that. It has helped that I have stocked up on Easter candy from Aldi. It was 75% off, so I'm in Easter till my candy runs out. Now, 40 days. This is our series. We're in a series called Risen Vision. And what we mean by that is having a vision that really lives in light of the resurrection. And over 5 weeks, we're looking at 5 commands of Jesus. Well, they're not commands exactly. They're more like directions. They're more like invitations. And Jesus, through his invitations, gives us this risen vision. We start seeing things in light of his resurrection. And these 5 things are really important for Grandview's future. So we've looked at what? Fear not. That was the first invitation. Touch me and see. Last week was believe all the prophets have spoken. And today is receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, this will be very familiar to Grandview. If you go into your very own beliefs, you have a covenant affirmation that says we affirm a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. Conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. And if you've been in the covenant denomination for a while, you know this is an emphasis of the Evangelical Covenant Church. But we want to go to God's Word and to see, why is it so important to have this conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit? And how does that change the way we live right now? I'm going to spend most of my time in John 20 today. John 20, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said to them, the disciples again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. There's a lot going on in this little passage, so I really want to just tease out 3 points. And the first thing is this, very simply, the Holy Spirit is from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is from Jesus. Verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them. Who breathed on the disciples? Jesus did. The breath came from him. And if you know anything about the ancient world, when people talked about breath, it was the same as talking about spirit. Spirit and breath, very much the same thing. And Jesus is illustrating. It's not so much that he's breathing out the Holy Spirit right then and there, but he's saying, you should receive the Holy Spirit when he comes to you. But the Holy Spirit is from Jesus. And I mention this because there are people out there who speak of the spirit as some kind of nebulous power, just sort of floating out there in the universe or in nature, and that this Holy Spirit is independent of Jesus. I know a guy who sometimes argues that Christians should be less centered around the Son, Jesus, and more centered around the Spirit. And he's saying this because he is encouraging us to find God in new places, and he's trying to do interreligious dialogue with some pagan groups. But here's the thing. It's not a thing to find the Holy Spirit apart from Jesus. It's not an either or. It really is a both and. When you talk about Jesus, you're talking about Jesus who's empowered by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and gives the Holy Spirit. And when you talk about the Spirit, you're talking about the Spirit from and through and with Jesus. This Spirit comes from the Son. The Nicene Creed talks about this. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, or you might say more accurately, it comes from the Father through the Son. In the mystery of the eternal Trinity, the Father gives the eternal breath to the Son, and the Son breathes it out on us. Jesus is the lungs which breathe out the Spirit, if you will. That's why the Spirit is called this in the Bible. The Bible calls him the Spirit of Jesus. That's in Acts 16, verse 7, and Philippians 1, verse 19. The Bible also calls the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, verse 9, and 1 Peter 1, 11. I pulled this out. I mentioned these things because we want to make sure we understand the Holy Spirit is from Jesus. It is connected to Jesus. It's from him. A second point, something to see in the text today, is that the Holy Spirit has to be received. Here it is in verse 22. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive it. Do not try to capture it or fabricate it or conjure it or try to purchase it as Simon the magician did. The Spirit is not for sale at the Empire Mall. There is no grabbing the Holy Spirit, making it yours by force. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, not your own. So you cannot capture him any more than you can control the wind. I ever tried to do that? Jesus talks about that in John 3 when he talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot be contained. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. You're just in the midst of it. So receive the Spirit. That passage in Luke says the same thing. Jesus, in Luke 24, verse 49, says, "Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Clothed. That's not an active, that's more of a passive, be clothed. So Jesus is clearly talking about a reception. Your responsibility is to stay, to wait, cooperate with the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit clothes you. Now, for those of you who have children, mothers and everyone else, you know this, that dressing children can be something of a challenge. That when a child cooperates with you and receives the clothes, it's no problem. You just put on that cute little long sleeve shirt, and you put on the bandana or whatever you're dressing the kid in, no problem. When a child is not cooperating, is not receiving, it is World War III, right? And you're trying to get out of the house and this child will not, you can't dress a flailing child very well. And I bring that up to say that Jesus is trying to dress you and you keep flailing about. But Jesus wants to clothe you with the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit is so important. Being consciously dependent on the Holy Spirit is so important because that's how we become holy. That's how we become like God. That's how we become happy. And the truth is, when we're not receiving the Holy Spirit, we're taking a hold of so many other things that are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter by Jesus at one point. But there are lots of unholy comforters out there, if you know what I mean. There are those things that we think give us power and comfort and escape, but they don't. Drugs, prescription or illegal, can be used as an unholy comforter. Heavy drinking can be used as an unholy comforter. Binge shopping can. Casinos and social casinos can. Do you know what social casinos are? I didn't really know until recently. They're places where people buy chips, they pay money for chips, and then they hang out with their friends in casinos. And you can't cash out the chips, you can only buy more chips. And it turns out there's a lot of people who are addicted to social casinos. It's now a $5 billion industry. And I'm not here making a comment on like which apps you can play and can't play. I'm not talking about what you can drink or not drink. That's not my purpose here, folks. My purpose here is to say, consider what it is controlling you. Consider under whose influence you're under. The problem isn't just that these behaviors can be addictive. The problem, more fundamentally, is that they crowd out the Holy Spirit. And do you notice that all of these things that I just mentioned, these problem behaviors, are all about us seizing something. We want it. We want comfort. We want escape. We want power. And so we go out and we grab it. We get it for ourselves and make it ours actively and instantly. That's not how it works with the Holy Spirit. And that's why it can be hard to receive the Holy Spirit, because you have to receive the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you comfort. He wants to give you truth and holiness, intimacy with God. He wants to give you strength. But these are things to be received. So be patient and wait to receive these things. Be patient and wait to be clothed. Years ago, I had a couple of mentors impress upon me the importance of praying with your hands open. And I'd actually invite you just to try it right now. Just to do this, just to hold your hands open for a second, just like that. And I realized I never actually do this in real life. I don't usually just kind of hold my hands open. But what does that suggest? When we have our hands open like this, what does that suggest? It's that we need something and that we're receiving something. And so I would just challenge you this week, just try it. In your prayer closet or in your car or wherever you pray, just away from people, just hold your hands open and pray and be silent. And just see if that's different for you. It has been for me in my life. On a similar note, Mother Teresa once wrote about the secret of her ministry. And you know about Mother Teresa. She was this nun who spent every day interacting with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. And she, ridiculous stories from her. I mean, she tended to the lepers. She held the hands of people in their death throes. She comforted mothers whose babies had starved to death. Just impossible things. I just wonder, how did she do it day by day? How was she able to give so much? Well, she writes this. She says, "My secret is simple. I pray." Mother Teresa goes on to say, "Everything starts from prayer. Without asking God for love, we cannot possess love, and still less are we able to give it to others." That is so true. If we don't receive from God, we have nothing to give. So receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot manufacture the Spirit, but He will be poured out upon you so that you can be what God intended you to be. You can love as God intended you to love. A third point I want to observe in this text is this. The Holy Spirit bestows authority. The Holy Spirit bestows authority. Again, in Luke 24, Jesus says, "Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit, of course, is from Jesus. He is there to be received, but he also gives authority. He gives power. Well, power to do what? Power just to do anything? No, it's not that. It's not that he's going to make you the king of the universe just to do whatever you darn please. No, it's more specific than that. And it helps to look at these both these passages. Back in John 20, Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And that's when he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But Jesus goes even further. This is John 20, verse 23. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." And that's an amazing claim right there. Really? We're going to have that kind of power? Yes. You will have power. You will have the right. In the Spirit, you will be authorized. You will have authority to speak and act and even forgive because you are on mission. And here's where we need to rethink what authority is. As Christians, we need to understand that authority has to do with mission. Jesus says, "I'm sending you. You are witnesses of these things." It's not that you have authority to do whatever you want or authority to boss people around. "I'm a Christian. Bake me some cookies." No, in your sent capacity, you have authority. You have the right to be an ambassador. Authority has to do with mission, and authority is exercised while in the Spirit. It's not a permanent state, folks. Authority isn't in one's being. It's not like I'm preaching right now, but that doesn't mean I'm constitutionally in authority. That's not it. Authority is grace. Authority is a gift. And it's constantly being received as one receives the Holy Spirit, doing what the church is authorized to do. I know of a minister who I think really made a bad error. He used to say, "These hands, see these hands? These hands are holy hands." And he was speaking about how he was ordained to do all of this stuff. And having spent time as a pastor, I have to say, no. Your hands aren't holy hands. That's not how it works. You don't have authority in your being. No, authority is being received as one receives the Holy Spirit and doing what the church is authorized to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. The authority remains in him, but we do the things the Spirit is doing. That said, with those conditions in place, let it be said, you are sent with the Holy Spirit's authority. You have power. Folks, you have authority. Jesus says you have authority to forgive sins. He says a similar thing to Peter in Matthew 16, 19. "I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You have the power to bless people. You have the power to plant seeds, as Haley was talking about. And you have authority even to forgive sin through the power of the gospel. And you're like, how does that even work? Well, of course, go out and preach the gospel. But consider this, folks. When somebody confesses their sin to you, forgive them in the name of Jesus. Tell them their sins are forgiven. And I have a few people in my life who do this, and I can't tell you how meaningful it is to me. When I go to them and I confess my sin, they tell me this. They say, "Nathan, in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven." They tell me, "Know it, your sins are forgiven." And folks, it is different than hearing it from myself. When I tell myself that, it doesn't stick. Sometimes even when I read in the Bible that my sins are forgiven, sometimes it doesn't stick. There's something powerful about people with the word of God in their mouth telling me, "Nathan, in Jesus Christ, I pronounce your sins forgiven." I dare you to do that for each other. Jesus, I think, dares us to do that for each other. So the Holy Spirit from Jesus to be received. And when we receive the Spirit, we have authority. Well, what does this mean for you? What does that mean for you today? Well, it might mean some personal things for you. But I'd remind all of you that Grandview isn't a process of casting vision. What does it mean to have a risen vision for Grandview, especially in light of receiving the Holy Spirit? Well, very quickly, I think it can be said that the church is called to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. Grandview needs to be a church receptive to the Holy Spirit. And this is going back to your roots, folks. When you go back to the founding of your church, there's lots of talk about the Holy Spirit, depending on the Spirit. As active as this church is, Grandview needs to operate from a place where it waits on God, which means you pray. And Grandview is a praying church, but Grandview doubled down on this. Pray individually and together. Not because it's a good thing to do, but because God wishes to bless you. He has so much to pour out on this church, but he's only going to pour it out starting in prayer. He wants to give you so much of his Spirit. Do you have ways to receive it? So where are your vessels to hold the oil, Grandview? Where are your baskets to collect the manna? How will you enter the wealth of your future if you do not receive the Spirit in prayer? And I also say as an aside, your board needs your prayers right now. They are to decide when and how to resume physical services. And these are serious matters, perhaps even matters of life and death. We need wisdom. We need the Spirit. Let's all be receiving in prayer. But when Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, I think there's something else we can hear, especially in this season, that you, Grandview, can be a church receptive to the world's suffering. You can be receptive to the world's suffering. To receive the Holy Spirit is to be able to see the suffering of the world. As Mother Teresa demonstrated through her life, she received the Holy Spirit, and therefore she was able to see the difficult suffering of the world. It's hard to see the suffering of the world, isn't it? Even on a small level, on Fridays, I just hate my meetings on Fridays these days because everybody is so worn. In my various clients, they're just so worn out by Friday. You can just tell, and people are a little cranky, and we all are. We get compassion fatigue. We have a hard time giving people the benefit of the doubt, and so on and so forth. And it's even harder when you go out to people and you realize there's lots of folks who are unemployed, there are folks who are without food, there are folks who need medical attention, there's folks who just need, there are just needs. And you go worldwide and it just feels unbearable. But I tell you, friends, Jesus's Spirit is there to empower you for mission. And you can walk in this Spirit of Jesus and you can maintain your compassion. Because it is first his compassion. And you can act in authority to bring healing and forgiveness to the world. You can receive his power to serve. And so be receptive to the world's suffering. Let me conclude with this. My family yesterday went to Touch the Sky Nature Preserve. Do you know about this little gem? I didn't until recently. It's called Touch the Sky, and it's over in southwest Minnesota, not too far from here. And it's this amazing tall grass prairie, and it has these piles of the Sioux quartzite and just some remarkable stuff there. I'd encourage you to go. Well, we went out there, and it was crazy windy yesterday, and there's nothing out there to stop the wind, so it just whips across the plains, probably 20 miles per hour. And my son and I, we decided that we would try to see who could throw dandelion heads the farthest. So we plucked some dandelion heads. And we found out very quickly that if you throw them, doesn't matter how hard you throw them, if you throw them low to the ground, they just sink. But if you start aiming up, you turn your eyes upward and you throw up, They go a lot further. In fact, in that wind, especially you get a good gust, it just carries and carries. But you got to make sure you throw it upwards. In fact, it didn't matter a whole lot how hard you threw. All you needed to do, we found out, was just throw it up in the air. And if you get it up into the wind, it carries. And so I tell you, Grandview, be like that. Be the kind of people who dare to trust the Spirit, who dare to be dependent on the Spirit, who don't struggle with all their might just to do things in their own power, but rather start lobbing flowers up into the air and see what he can do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We pray now that through Jesus, you would pour him out on us, on this church, and that we would do great things in love by his power. So impress upon us all the things that you want to do with us this week, and indeed many years in the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.